God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come and away among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound.
Continue our worship this morning. Greet one another.
Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Sing a song.
Sing a song.
Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are weary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Show a little bit when the days are dreary.
Well, good morning. It is great to see all of you this morning. Hopefully you all came out for our breakfast this morning. Our back to Sunday school promotion was this morning. We had a great turnout. So hopefully we got you a little bit informed on what Sunday school has to offer for everyone. And hopefully it got you excited and wanting to come and be a part of our Sunday school hour. Just a few announcements that I want to touch on. First one being, anyone that has participated, wants to participate in the singing in the choir or the upcoming Christmas cantata, please stay for a few minutes directly following service. Steve Kravitz would like to meet with anyone that is interested in being part of the choir and the Christmas cantata. We have dismissed services this evening due to the holiday weekend, tomorrow being Labor Day. I know it's vacation for a lot and not for those that do have to work, but be safe out there. Enjoy your Monday tomorrow. This coming Thursday, the Ladies Fellowship is going to need some help at the Ronald McDonald House. The Giggles will be making dinner and serving Thursday night at the Ronald McDonald House in Springfield. They could use a couple of servers to help us. They have to be there at 5:30 to fix the food and 6:30 to serve. So if anyone is interested in helping with that, please see Jennifer. Again, that was this Thursday evening at 5:30 at the Ronald McDonald House. And then coming up also for the Ladies Fellowship on the 25th of this month, the ladies are going to have a game night / sleepover at Mary Willard's Cabin down in the Reed Spring area. That will be September the 25th at 7 p.m. They're going to have some people that will carpool that just want to go down for the evening that may not necessarily want to stay the entire night. But any of you ladies that are interested in that, you can see Mary Willard for directions and more information for that. As we are continuing our summer theme of outreach and service, we have moved on to our pastries and prayer, where we are designated a certain school building here in Nixa for the month and praying. Last month was our FOT administration building, and this month we are focusing on the high school and the SCORE building. So please be in prayer this month for the faculty and staff for the high school and the SCORE building. And we'll have more information as what buildings are coming up in the next coming months as we get closer to those times.
Good morning. The month of February and September, the Nazarene Church collects money for alabaster. And for those of you that don't know what alabaster is, it is money that we collect that 100% of the money goes for building churches. And I thought it would be really interesting to find out how this came about. And in 1948, Reverend Elizabeth Venom, Global Council member, was asked to think and pray about a challenging project for the NMI, which is the Nazarene Mission International. Reverend Venom knew if God wanted the project to take place, he would provide the plan. On the return trip from Kansas City, God gave her his plan of giving love gifts. It was modeled after the sacrifice of the woman who anointed Jesus' head with expensive perfume poured from an alabaster jar. At the Global NMI Council meeting in 1949, Mrs. Venom told of the alabaster plan God had given her. The council unanimously adopted the plan, and the first offering was received in 1949. The Board of General Superintendents approved the plan for funds to be used exclusively for buildings and properties and cross-cultural ministries. Now, more than 60 years later, alabaster is still strong, having provided more than 9,000 projects since 1949, faithful Nazarenes around the world have given over $100 million for this much-needed ministry. And we will take this offering the last Sunday of September. And in the windows, you'll maybe see one of these alabaster boxes. And if you would like to take one to put money in, something that years and years ago, this dear Nazarene lady, I still remember her. She was a first grade teacher and just the dearest lady at the church we went to. And she said what she did is she put her alabaster box on her washing machine, and any money that came out of the washing machine went in here. And that was something when our girls were little, we did that. They had that as a tradition, and it's amazing how much money can be in your pocket for a year. So anyway, we'll be doing that the very last week of September.
Amen. Thank you. We'll come this morning. We'll receive our regular morning tithes and offerings. Appreciate so much your giving to the ministry of this church. We talked in the promotion this morning about some of the acrostics, the acronyms that are in your bulletin. And for those of you, we have several new folks. Just in case you don't know, if you look in your bulletin, there's a financial report in there. And under that financial report, there are a couple of funds that are listed there. One is the RAC Fund. That stands for Random Acts of Kindness. And that fund helps people outside of our church family. That's people in our community. That is the benevolent funds that we have available that when we receive calls for food assistance or rental assistance or utility assistance, those are the funds that we draw from to help people that are not a regular part of our church. You'll also see in there the term ATTIC. That stands for All Things in Common, and that represents Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 in the New Testament church and how they took care of each other. And so the ATTIC Fund is benevolent ministry inside our church family. And so as you contribute, you can contribute to those funds at any time. Just mark your giving, your checks or whatever, the envelope or whatever it is. Just mark RAC or ATTIC on there, and those funds will go to those places specifically. And that helps people both inside and outside of our church as they run into times of need. So that's what those stand for. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. The scholarship fund that's there, indeed, we have an annual offering day, which is when we honor our graduates in May. But you can contribute to any of these funds at any point in time as God enables you to do so. But we also have a program within the church where we're able to give up to $250 scholarships to our graduating seniors from high school going into their freshman year of college. And they have the opportunity to apply. Some of our schools, particularly our Nazarene school, Mid-America up at Olathe, if we give $250, they will match that from the Nazarene College. And there are other schools that do some matching. Some corporate companies will do some matching funds, but we can give up to $250 per person as those kids apply for those scholarships. So it allows us to give support to our graduating seniors and say we believe in you continuing your education and improving yourself in that manner. So that will explain some of those funds. But as you contribute, we're able to do these various ministries. And so we thank you very much for your faithfulness in giving. Good to have Brother Dan home. Matter of fact, I was going to do this during prayer time, but since he's here and I'm going to ask him to pray, I'll just do this now because we need to rejoice together. We've been praying. Brother Dan, for those of you who don't know, is an over-the-road truck driver. And he's been going here and there just as they tell him. But he applied for a set run, has been granted that. He has a set course that he will go week to week now, and it should, unless there are minor exceptions, but it should on the norm put Brother Dan home with us every weekend. And so we praise the Lord for answering that prayer. Give the Lord a hand this morning. All right. Brother Dan, come. Ask God's blessing and receive an offering this morning.
Lord, we just come to you in praise, and we thank you for your total outgiving of blessings to us. You tell us to ask, and it shall be given unto us. And Lord, it is so evident today. We ask that you be with everyone as they give from their hearts, God, and that it go to your will and your mission. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
And greeting time. Go ahead, I'm going to play here in just a second. The worship team sang a new song, but it's not a new song. Show a Little Bit of Love and Kindness was written in 1968, but it just kind of spoke to me, and I thought during the month of September we would use this for our greeting song. But sing, when you're singing a song, if you're at home and you're kind of down, if you sing a song, anymore.
That's
something
right.
About singing a song just makes a difference. Also, right now during this month, during the next year when we're giving donuts to teachers. We're spreading cheer. We're spreading cheer to sad and lonely people. We're being a friend. We're showing love. We're lifting them up in the dungeons of despair. So we're going to sing this song, all of us as a congregation, and there's actually three verses, and we're going to do them all. So you all are going to get to sing the reading song. Show a little bit of
love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and their happy place. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little love to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Sing a song.
Sing a song. Days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Call for help.
Bring some hope to the fainting and despairing on life's road. Go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little hug to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Be alive.
Be alive.
Show the way.
Show the way.
Be a light
within the night for those who stray. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend who's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Hard to sing that one without smiling.
To heed, but never has there been a name so dear. To this heart of mine has the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and some sway. The blessed name, let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the say, as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and someday I shall see Him face to face, to thank and praise Him for His wondrous grace, which He gave to me when He made me free, the blessed Son of God called Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Think of this passage of Scripture as we were singing that song. whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know, we live in a world that's all about accumulating stuff. Whoever has the most must be the best. Paul said, I'll lose everything to know Christ. And he literally did that. All of the work that he did on his missionary journeys, most of his life was spent in jail cells. But all of these great writings that we have, a good part of them were penned while he was doing time and went out as letters to the churches. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, we've been sold for many years. We've been sold a bill of goods by people who are preaching, saying, when you're right with God, nothing will go wrong. When you're right with God, you only get good stuff. I'm just trying to find where they found that in the Bible. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have a wonderful time and have nothing but gain. That's not what he said. What did he say? In this world, you'll have what? Trouble. This world's full of trouble. I want to know Christ. Fellowship. We just had fellowship in the fellowship hall this morning. We had fun. We laughed and talked. We ate. We enjoyed each other. Paul's talking about the fellowship of suffering. Most of us, that's not the kind of fellowship we're looking for. We want feel-good fellowship. Knowing Christ, there's nothing more important than knowing Christ. And I wish it was easy to say no matter what it costs, but you have to think about that when you say that, and I'm not sure I like the possibilities. But here's what I do know. Nobody loves me more than God. Nobody understands me better than God. And nobody has more capacity to help me succeed than God. How hard of a choice is it to figure out what to do with my life? Then first and foremost, to surrender it. Give it to God. He can take better care of it than I can. I hope that we as a church will always be a place where people can know God better, where people can come and learn the Word and the will of God Almighty. I'm proud to be the pastor of that kind of church. People who want to be God with skin on to other people. I have a nice note here from the Nixa school system. We've only been doing this thing with the schools for 3 weeks now. We took our pastries to our first building on the 31st, which was the Fought Administration Center. And I have a note here in my hand signed by the superintendent of schools, Dr. Stephen Kleinsmith. Dear Pastor Gary and congregation, Just a note to thank you for the goodies and the prayer for our Fought Administration Center staff. I know your plans are to do the same with each and every school building in the district, which is quite a show of support for our faculty and staff. It's always nice to feel appreciated and supported by our community. Please don't hesitate to contact me if I can ever be of assistance. Sincerely, Stephen Kleinsmith, Superintendent of Schools. I just saw an article last night. The Nixa school system has been labeled as the fifth best place to teach in the entire state of Missouri and the best place to teach in Southwest Missouri by those people who supposedly know these kinds of things. And so that says something about the work environment before we ever started praying and thinking. And we got people like Carolyn and Betty Nance and others that have been connected to the Nixa school systems along the way. And we want to lift them up and be faithful to them in our prayers. That's not to mean that other schools aren't good places and there aren't good people and good teachers in those schools, and they deserve our prayers and our recognition as well. But thank you for taking on this project. You're already making a difference. The superintendent of schools has acknowledged your effort with appreciation. And so let's just continue to pray for our schools. We're praying for the high school and the SCORE building this month. We want to continue to be faithful in our prayer times. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we also want to be mindful of some other things that are happening. There are things listed within your bulletin, but we particularly want to remember. We mentioned last week about Mary's sister. And if I understand correctly, we have some pretty good updated information that the cancer is small and contained, and they think they can remove it and treat with radiation and go on without any major issues otherwise. So give the Lord a hand this morning. He is good. He answers prayer. We'll continue to remember Paula Beechler as she is looking to find employment. She's away from us with the family that's in South Carolina. Where's Steve? He's with the kids, I guess. I think she's in South Carolina. So pray for her as she travels back whenever the appropriate time comes for that. We continue to pray for Chris Downing as she's preparing for some surgery out in the future. Sister Janet will have knee surgery about the third week of this month. And so we want to remember her in our prayers. Brother Don has asked us to remember his family this morning. They're going through some challenges that are within their family. And so we can't, just an unspoken request to remember them this morning. Sister Hazel is here. We've been praying for her, so it's good to have her in church today and feeling like being with us. She says her son-in-law, Chris Carver, who is an assistant DS and has been a part of our church at various times and services, is having some major back trouble. And so we want to remember him this morning. We've already mentioned the praise for Dan's work schedule, and so we want to give God praise for that. And then Bonnie Smith, one of our new folks, has asked us to remember her son, Dakota, going through some issues that the Lord knows them. And so you pray for their family, that God indeed will touch them and help them in the deliverance. I know that Ray has got some family issues as well in his family, and a daughter that he would be glad for you to pray for this morning. And then we want to remember the Holmes family. Some of you are familiar with L.V. Holmes. He was my first pastor in the Church of the Nazarene at Dogwood and has been around the Marshfield and the Springfield area churches the last few years. Great, great man. His oldest son, Larry. Was killed in an accident this week with a tractor. And so that I want to remember them. They're especially close to me. Dan was stood up at my wedding, Larry's brother. And I was in their home many times, just like a son. Ate at their table. Was a recipient of their prayers. Another word of praise. You know, the thing about it is the old devil can't get us all down at once. And my sister Sue is proud to let you know that her daughter Lori, who had been around this church some as a younger person growing up, has completed finally, after many, many years of going to school, has passed her boards and is now officially a nurse practitioner, and will start a new job with Mercy as a result of that. And so we rejoice at those accomplishments as well. God is good, isn't he? No matter what the storms of life look like, our God is greater. And he loves us and cares for us. These altars are open to you this morning. There are many things in our bulletin, probably things that I failed to mention. I apologize this morning if we failed to mention something of significance to you. But these altars are open to you this morning. We just want to sing together, and then we'll lift our voices in prayer. Take these items to the throne of God, thanking him for his goodness and laying our burdens before him as we need his help along the way.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Bring Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise.
Need this morning, you feel free to come and find a place to kneel. Lord, we just want to start by saying we love you. We come in all of our weakness and our frailty and our inadequacies, and we say, Lord, forgive us where we failed. Teach us what you want us to know. And indeed empower us to carry out your plan for our lives, your will and your word to our world. Lord, we want to be grateful and thankful for your love to us. We want to thank you for your blessings in our lives. Lord, we rejoice with those that rejoice and we weep with those that weep. We know that we've got some families in our church that are just in the final stages of getting some new homes, moving into a new phase in their life, and we rejoice with them. Lord, we know some people that lost jobs, and we weep with them. Lord, we know some people that have had new grandbabies come into their life, and we rejoice with them. And then there are friends who have lost their loved ones this week, and we weep with them. Lord, we know that there are people that have had answers to prayer, and we rejoice with them. And we know there are those who are quite concerned about their families and their friends, loved ones, because of physical or emotional situations they're going through, some illness, some addiction, some various things. Lord, but we weep with them. And Lord, we know that you love us so much that what breaks our heart breaks your heart. And Lord, we want it to be just the same going back to heaven, that whatever breaks your heart, breaks our heart. And may that desire, Father, may that relationship cause us to have a motive to live right, to do right, to be right. May we want to know you more than anything else. May we want to know you more than we want stuff on this earth. May we want to know you more than we want to know anybody on this earth. Lord, sometimes we're not very good at that. Sometimes we're all about what we can see and touch and feel. We're all about the sensory rather than the spirit. We're all fleshly. Lord, we want to be filled with your spirit to where we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We shun the appearance of evil. We love to be in the fellowship of God's people. We love the light more than the dark. And we quit making excuses. We start allowing you to really empower us to be witnesses for the kingdom's sake. Lord, on this Labor Day weekend, we pray that you'd be with all of our families that are away from us today. Some of them are with their families. Others are on vacation. Others are traveling for various reasons. Lord, we pray for them today. And Lord, I don't know what the situation is, and I don't want to make any one person any more important, but we love our staff and our leadership, and we pray for Pastor Don and his family this morning. We don't know what's going on. It's none of our business. But Lord, we know his heart is heavy. But Lord, we know you are the answer. And so, Lord, we submit to you. Whatever our situations are, Lord, we know there are other things out there going on. Every family is important. Every situation is equal to you. Lord, we pray for our people this day. Thank you for answered prayers and blessings. And we lay our burdens down when they're too heavy for us to carry. We ask you, Lord, to do your work in every situation. We claim victory in the name of Jesus. We know the enemy would like to get us down. We thank you for this song that Janet shared with us this morning, to smile, to sing, and to praise. For our God inhabits praise. When things are tough, just praise the Lord. And we can be overcomers. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, may the devil be defeated and may Jesus be lifted up. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for the plan of salvation, for grace and mercy. We receive it gladly today. We give you all we have, which is not much. But Lord, we're yours this morning. We're glad that you are ours. And we pray now that you would lift us on eagle's wings. And we'll give you praise for it all. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
I have debated all morning about the appropriate place for this, but I believe that we'll share it now, and then I want the words to carry on with you through the message and into potentially the time of invitation this morning. Some of you have already shared with me that there are some things going on in your lives, and so I just want us to know that indeed we have a God who loves us and cares about us. There's not anything he can't handle.
There is no problem so big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so tall He cannot move it. There is no storm so dark God cannot calm it. is no sorrow so deep God cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you. He said, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. No problem so big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so tall he cannot move it. There is no storm so dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep God cannot soothe it. For if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you. He will carry you. He will carry you.
I want to consider this morning rest in a restless world. How many of you here have ever been tired? Years and years and years ago, and I'm an old hillbilly myself, years and years ago I heard an old joke about this hillbilly family, and they were pretty laid back. And one night they were asleep in the cabin, and the old dog out on the front porch began to howl. Ooh, and that went on and on and on for a while. And Pa looked over at Ma and he said, Ma, go check on the old dog. She said, well, honey, I would, but I'm just too tired. At that time, the old dog, ooh, and that went on for a while. Mom looked over at son and said, son, go out and see what is going on with dog. He said, Ma, I would, but I'm just too tired. And dog howled a little more. Oh, oh. Son looked over at sister and said, sis, go see what's the matter with the old dog. So she got up. She went out. She didn't really want to because she is tired. She came back in, she laid down, Pa looked over at the end of the row and said, sis, what's the matter with old dog? She said, well, Pa, he done laid down on the rake, but he is too tired to get up. Well, sometimes we get tired. The Bible tells us not to grow weary in well-doing. And I think we experienced a little bit of that even just this summer, all of the activities and the things that we were doing, all for a good reason and with good results, that we took out the love of Jesus Christ into our community. But I know that on some days, at the end of those days, some of you were tired. When we packed up all the canopies and all the water bottles that were left and hauled all the coolers and freezers and all those things in, people would get to the end of the day, they were tired. And I don't know about you, but when we got to, from June to the end of August and got done with the fish fry, I was thinking, boy, what I wouldn't give for just a couple of weeks to not have anything on the agenda to have to do. I was a little weary. And here we are at Labor Day weekend, kind of the end of the summer. And we think about getting into a routine, a fall schedule, and school begins again, and kids are back into their activities and agendas. And it's a different kind of busy, but it seems to be a little more scheduled and things. And we're appreciative. Sometimes we're glad just to have to go back to work so we can rest from vacation or time off or whatever it is we've been doing. Well, you know, back several years ago in 1882, there was a group of people called the Knights of Labor in New York City that they created a holiday called Labor Day. And the whole idea of Labor Day is having a holiday to not work so you can honor work. And the crazy thing about it is the idea was to have kind of a rest, you know, a day to rest and think about work and to appreciate the fact we have a job and those kinds of things. And isn't it interesting, all the stuff that we plan on Labor Day? How many of you actually rest on Labor Day? Or how many of you have got things, you got to go here and you got to go there and you got to do this, you got to do that, got this barbecue and got this thing, and I got family, and like, you go back to work on Tuesday so you can get over the weariness of all that rest you had yesterday. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, if we go through life and we exert any kind of effort and we do anything in life the way we ought to, our physical bodies are going to experience some exhaustion. We're going to experience some need to find some time off. We're going to need to find a day sometimes where we just don't want to do anything. And for some people who are really physical jobs, they'd like to just find a cool place on the couch to lay down and not think about anything and not have to have any activity. And sometimes for those people who have jobs that require their mind to be running and thinking and doing stuff all week, sometimes they just want to go someplace where they can vegetate and not think about stuff. You know? Just find something that's humorous or that you can watch or something that just kind of doesn't require any work or effort on your brain and you find rest. We find rest in all kinds of places. I want us to take a look at Hebrews chapter 4 this morning just for a few moments as we think about this Labor Day weekend and as we think about indeed the rest that we can find in Christ. The rest that we can find that God has for us. Reading the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4, it reads like this: "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all His work." Well, if God rested, don't you think the rest of us probably need some? And again in the passage above He says, "They shall never enter my rest." It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So the first thing I want us to realize this morning as we think about entering the rest of God, work is part of this life. Work is necessary. And let me tell you where that comes from. If you go all the way back to the beginning of God's Word and you look at Genesis chapter 3, you'll be reminded that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Had they not disobeyed God, they would not have come to this place. But they did disobey God, and as a result of that disobedience, this is what God said to them. To Adam, He said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow." How many of the last couple of days of this week had a little sweat on your brow? "By the sweat of your brow you'll eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and from dust you are, and to dust you will return." So we find that in the curse, in the consequence of Adam and Eve disobeying God, we find that work has now become necessary for all man. We're not going to get away from the fact that we're going to have to work. It's part of the deal. It came out of the fall. But indeed, sometimes we don't have the right perspective. And I ran across some things that I think kind of remind me of how people really are sometimes. Someone has written that there are four kinds of bones in the world. There are wishbones, who spend their time wishing someone else would do the work. The jawbones, who do all the talking, but very little else. Now I'm only halfway through and you guys are already nodding your heads in agreement. The knuckle bones, who knock everything that anyone else is trying to do. And the backbones, who shoulder the load and do the work. It amazes me sometimes. I think maybe there are some things that every young person should be required to learn. And the truth of the matter, how many of you know the name Bill Gates? Now, he's not necessarily noted for being a spiritual person, but he is a good businessman. And here's some things that I think every one of our young people and most of our adults, well, to be quite honest, I think everybody ought to learn this stuff. Here are some simple rules that people ought to be taught to think about life and being successful. Rule number one, this is from Bill Gates. Life is not fair, get used to it. Rule number two, the world won't care about your self-esteem. The world will expect you to accomplish something before you feel good about yourself. Rule number three, you will not make $40,000 a year right out of high school. You won't be a vice president with a car phone until you earn both a high school and college degree. Rule number four, if you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. He doesn't have tenure. Rule number five, flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity. Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity. Rule number six, if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault. So don't whine about your mistakes. Learn from them. Rule number seven, before you were born, your parents weren't as boring as they are now. They got that way from paying your bills, cleaning your clothes, and listening to your talk about how cool you are. So before you save the rainforest from the parasites of your parents' generation, try de-lousing the clothes in your own room. Rule number eight, your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. I coached youth sports and refed youth sports for 17 years. This drives me crazy. In some schools, they have abolished failing grades. They will let you try as many times as you want to get the right answer. This doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. How many of you heard the article a couple of weeks ago about the NFL player who sent his kid's participation trophy back? I thought it was fantastic. Because in life, everybody doesn't get a trophy. Just because you show up. Rule number nine, life is not divided into semesters. You don't get summers off, and very few employers are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time. Rule number 10, television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop to go to their jobs. Rule number 11, be nice to nerds. Chances are, you'll end up working for one of them. Well, that's just a little Bill Gates wisdom there. But the truth of the matter is, those are some pretty practical ideas. Those are pretty good thoughts. And indeed, work is necessary. Here's the deal. You're going to work in this life if you're going to get anywhere. It's what it takes. It's the rule that God made when Adam and Eve sinned and when they were cast out of the garden. He said, here's the rule. You're going to work. So work is necessary. Matter of fact, we find another perspective on it when we listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 10. It says this, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. That's an interesting rule, isn't it? What does that do to the share the wealth mentality? And when did anybody think that somebody who works hard to earn something would eventually be happy about giving it away to somebody else who's not doing anything for it? Somewhere people lose their motivation for accomplishing anything. And credibility is earned. I thought it was interesting that Mr. Gates kind of alluded to that as many times in his rules as he did. Indeed, this story has been told. Reaching the end of a job interview, the human resources rep asked a young accountant who was fresh out of school, what starting salary were you thinking about? The accountant said, well, in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year, depending on the benefits package. The interviewer said, well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, full medical and dental, company retirement fund to 50% of your salary, executive share option schemes, profit-related pay, and a company car leased every 2 years, say a 5 Series BMW? The accountant sat up straight and said, wow, are you kidding? And the interviewer said, yes, but you started it. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I think there's a lot of times in this life that we think we've given our best effort, we've accomplished something, and somebody else took the credit for it, and it was very frustrating, and it created a very little motivation in us to do anything else. But here's what we've been promised from Almighty God. What you do is not unnoticed. I have a record of it all. And while you may not receive your reward or your recognition here on earth, matter of fact, he tells us to even not to worry about that. But he says, when the time comes in heaven, I have everything duly noted and there will be recognition. See, the problem is we get so wrapped up in this life that we forget to prepare for that life. Work is necessary. But as we think about rest in relationship to work, here's something that I think pervades from spiritual life and moves into all of the areas of life, and that is this. Right relationship provides rest. If you go back to the text and you think about those first three verses, he talks about those entering that rest who have believed. And he talks about in verse 2 the fact that the message had no value to those who did not accept it by faith. Right relationship provides rest. Having the right connections makes all the difference in the world. How great is it sometimes in this life when you happen to know somebody or be related to somebody that is skilled at what you need done, and you're able to call upon them and their resources and catch a break and get a professional job done at an amateur charge. Maybe no charge at all. How great it is to have connections. How great it is to be related to the right people. Well, I want to remind you this morning that when we are rightly related to God, it opens up all kinds of opportunity and it should provide rest for us. I just want to remind you of these passages of Scripture this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 12. About Benjamin, he said, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." How many of you have ever ridden on your father's shoulders? If I'd have had time to get the clip, and I wish I had it, but I've got a movie clip of when I was probably no more than a year old. Sue may remember this. On the 8mm slides, my dad's sitting on the arm of a couch, and he has black hair. And he's young, and he's sitting there, and I'm on his shoulders, and he's bending over, and I'm flipping off. And we used to love this thing because when I was a kid, my mom would run it in reverse. Do you ever have mom run the projector backwards when they're showing the 8mm films? And I'd go all the way down from the floor, and I'd jump backwards right up on my dad's shoulders. I was really talented. But the more I've thought about that in these years that my dad's been gone, how thankful I am that I had a father who would carry me. And there was no place that I felt safer than on the broad shoulders of my father. Psalms tells us in Psalms chapter 60, Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And in Psalms 91, verses 1 through 4, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." How many of you ever heard stories of mother hens who they found in a hen house that has been burned, and they would raise the old charred hen up and find chicks safe under the wings? I'm glad there's somebody in heaven who's got their wings spread, who protects me, gives me a place of refuge from the fire of this life. And I'm reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 7 of these words, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." And then in Revelation 14:13, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" When you do something in Christ, when you do something for the Lord, it's recorded, it's never forgotten. At the appropriate time, you'll find rest from all your labor. All the things that seem like maybe you're doing that are exasperating and exhausting here, you're going to find that doing them for the sake of Christ, the reward is well worth the wait. That we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us. Those connections change how we view life, because as we realize that because we are related to Christ, as we receive by faith what Christ has done, we don't have to exert so much effort. We don't have to think that our rest comes from something we do. The only thing we have to do is by faith accept what Christ did for us. We rest in His power. We rest in His ability. We rest in His love. We rest in His perfection in our relationship to the Father. Not only does right relationship provide rest, but right living provides rest. Just think about this for a minute. Right information plus right choice equals rest. Say, what do you mean? Well, let me share a verse of Scripture with you. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. This is what the Lord says: "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, 'We will not walk in it.'" I want us to say this morning, we will walk in it. Because when we find the good way and we walk in it, we find rest for our souls. I want you just to think about this very quickly this morning. What causes a lot of exhaustion in our life? How many times is it the wrong choices that we make? I want you to think back to our text in Hebrews chapter 4 and listen to verse 6 again. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in. They did not enter that rest because of their disobedience. Where does most of our fear, guilt, worry, anxiety, running from consequences, trying to earn approval, where's most of that stuff come from? It comes from us making self-centered choices. It comes from us doing our own thing instead of doing God's thing. Because when we do what God wants us to do and we walk in all the light that we have peace. And when we have peace, we're at rest. Just think about the beauty of a lake, that it's still and the boat is there. When there's no unrest, when the lake is calm, you can enjoy that serene scene. What about when the storms come? What about the turbulence? What about the things? And I'm not saying that everything that brings a storm is some line of disobedience, but think about it. I would say the majority of a lot of the tough stuff we face in life is of our own making. It's bad choices. It's disregarding information. It's going against light. We find rest in right living. Because when we don't have a guilty conscience, when we are at peace, when we pillow our head at night, we find rest. We don't have that anxiety that keeps our mind running so hard and fast that we can't unwind. And God gives us what He wants us to have. What's He want us to have? We'll listen to this passage as we close this morning. Matthew chapter 11. It was the song as we shared it this morning. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Belief in God's plan of salvation and Christ's work on the cross brings us rest. The greatest peace we will ever experience in this life is to be in right relationship with God. And the greatest rest we will ever find is to turn all of our life stuff over to a God who loves us and can actually do something about it. And when we quit telling Him how He has to do it and when He has to do it, then we'll find the peace and rest as we trust Him every step we take. Stand with me this morning. And with no music playing, just think back to that song that I shared just before the message. And think about those statements. There is no problem so big that God cannot solve it. And there is no mountain so tall that He cannot move it. There's no storm that He can't calm. There's no sorrow He can't soothe. That's the God that we serve. He wants to carry us. I'm a grown man, but what I wouldn't give to be able to go back to a few of those days for a few moments when my daddy would put me on his shoulders and I would feel that strength. But I can feel that now in my Heavenly Father's arms, on my Heavenly Father's shoulders, that He will carry us. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're just here as Your children. Some of us rejoicing, but some of us going through some really big struggles. Some of us facing some really big hurdles. Lord, these altars are open this morning. If there's those here this morning that are facing some difficult times, difficult decisions, big struggles, we invite them, Father, just to come and to find Your open arms here in these altars of prayer. To find a lap that they can crawl up into, an arms of love that will wrap them up. And say, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Just in these quiet moments, Father, no music, but just mindful of the promises of Your word and Your desire to hold us and to love us
and to make everything okay. Lord, you can only do that if we'll yield ourselves to you. If we'll quit trying to do stuff our way, if we'll quit trying to have our way, if we'll just yield to you. I encourage you, I invite you, I beg you this morning, if you're here and you're struggling with something, just to find your way to one of these altars of prayer and just give it to God. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It doesn't mean you've done something bad. It just means that we're asking for help from a higher power. Because sometimes we face things in life, we just don't know what to do or how to do them. Father, we know you love us. We wait for just a few moments this morning. There's someone here that has a need, needs a place of prayer. We invite you to come. The things of life are just too big to handle, and we need help. One's come. Is there anyone else that needs to come this morning? Anyone else that needs a place of prayer? It's Labor Day weekend. We honor rest. Come and find rest in the Lord. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest today? God wants to give you rest in His power, in His strength. I'm wondering if there's a few of our men this morning that might just come and gather around this one that's here and just lift up some prayer, just give them some support, some encouragement. We're family here. We love each other. We support each other. Our God is able to handle whatever is going on in our life. Anyone else that needs a place of prayer this morning? Places to lay down the burdens. And let God have His will and His way in your heart and life. If I could ask you to, I'd have you to be seated for just a moment while we pray with this one that's at the altar. And then we'll be dismissed. If you must go, you feel free to do that. But if you can, just pray with us. And in just a moment, we'll be ready to go.